Thank you, Paul. That's no easy task to read a whole chapter of the Old Testament in front of people. So thank you for doing that. It's probably one of the longest readings we'll ever have in church, but there's a number of things that I just didn't feel we could leave out in discussing this part of the relationship of mentor to mentee, this part of the relationship between Jethro and his son-in-law, Moses. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we continue to live as your people, as we're guided by your Holy Scriptures to live as people who are called by your name, who are asked, as you asked your disciples, come follow me. Lord, as we are your followers, as we are Jesus' followers, we know first and foremost that we belong to you. There's no question. We've talked about this over and over and over again. It's part of who we are. It's our identity. But Lord, we also are challenged to believe and become the people you want us to be. We're justified by grace through faith, but yet it's your desire that we would grow as your people, that we would not stay as babes in the faith, but Lord, that we would grow as children of God and as heirs of eternal life. Lord, you want to hand over more responsibility to us, but as St. Paul reminded us, heirs as they are learning are like slaves, and yet everything belongs to them. And so, Lord, we want to be in that situation where, like Moses, we're willing to listen to people of faith and of wisdom. That, like Moses, even though we're in charge and you work through us and we know that you are living in us and alive, Lord, we're still willing and humble to find someone to learn from. And Lord, as we learn, that we take that advice and we take that coaching and we take that mentoring and all the good things that the person pours into our life, and we turn around and share it with others. So Lord, help us as we take this journey of faith together. Help us to belong, help us to believe, and help us to become who you want us to be. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we're beginning a journey of faith. As a church, we've adopted a model of ministry that puts an onus on us as elders in the church to mentor, disciple, teach, and live the truth of the gospel. And that's kind of scary if you think about it, because in most churches, we're just happy to confirm everyone, stamp them approved, tell them when the congregational meetings are, and have them come in and vote. That's usually the way it works. And then if we can, we strong-arm them into being on a board or a committee, and then we get them to go to meetings. And then at the end of life, we say, this person was a great church person because they served on this committee or served on that board, they did this or they did that. But the reality for me and the reality that I see in this next generation coming up, the reality that we have is that the future for the church is not so much the institution, but the relationships. And as we move forward, it's a journey of faith as Jesus followers. As we move forward, it's about living as people who know we belong to God, but believe what the Bible teaches and want to become more like Jesus each and every day. We want to behave the way he wants us to behave. We want to live life the way he wants us to live it. And quite frankly, it's really hard, and this is the problem with the society we live in, is we live in an individualistic society. 81% of the people in the United States who call themselves Christians believe that they can come to a church and they can hear the Bible taught, but they're going to decide for themselves, no matter what their level of maturity, what's right and what's wrong. Quite frankly, that scares me. As someone who studied the Bible and who spent a lot of time in Hebrew and in Greek and reading the text and trying to figure out what is the Lord's call, it scares me that someone who has very little knowledge decides, well, I'm going to take this and I'm going to leave that. The Bereans were of great character and of noble character, it says in Acts, because they took the time to study the Word. They tested everything that Paul said and they studied the Word. Did not mean that they did not believe what Paul said, but they made sure that when he said something that came out of Scripture, they checked it out. And I hope you do that with me. But what scares me is that when 81% of Christians, according to George Barna, decide, well, I'm going to take this and I'm going to leave that, how can they grow? How can they grow as individuals who emulate Jesus Christ, who live like Jesus, if they're not willing to humble themselves and be followers of someone? I have a mentor. I've had a mentor a lot of mentors, actually. But I have a mentor who's been my mentor ever since I was in Bible school years ago. And he was a pastor in Regina. Now he's a pastor in El Paso, Texas. But it was really important to me to find someone who I thought could pour into my life. And a lot of times it's not really that fun, let me tell you. Because I come with ideas and he says, you really believe that? I come with ideas that I think are really good because I've been hearing, you know, listening, and I hear these ideas and I think this is a great idea. And then I go to this, to my mentor who's had a lot more years of experience, and I say, well, this is what I'm thinking. And he says, really? Every time he says really, I get this sinking feeling. Ever had this sinking feeling? He says, really? Well, let's just think about this for a second. Let's ponder it together. And that really makes me worried. Because he's had a lot of experience. He's been walking his relationship with the Lord longer than me. He's been pastoring a lot longer than me. He's had all kinds of congregations. Grew a congregation. He went to a congregation of 60 people. It immediately went down to 25 people. Then it went to over 1,000 people over a period of 20 years. And he was one of the first to talk about this whole idea of discipleship. What does it mean to be mentored? What does it mean to come to someone who you know has experience beyond your years and to say to them, would you spend time with me? Would you answer my questions? Would you teach me? Would you encourage me? Would you come alongside of me? If I could give a definition, and believe me, there are a lot of definitions out there of mentoring. Mentoring actually starts back with Homer in Odyssey. There's a word for mentor there, and it's stood the test of time. It's been in every culture. It's in every religion. The idea of mentoring, discipleship, that idea is there, but there's so many definitions of it. And my best definition, if I were to say, is that you have someone who's willing to walk alongside of you, encourage you during the tough times, and speak into your life when you need it. And a mentor would be someone that you would be humble enough, even if you don't think they have it all together. Now remember something. Jethro was a priest of Midian, and he was not necessarily a sold-out believer in Yahweh, the God who Moses met in the burning bush, the one who said, I am who I am. He wasn't necessarily a believer in just the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was a believer in God's, but if you notice, after Moses tells him about all the stuff that happened, all the miracles, all the ways that God led the people out of Egypt, because as when we listen to the story in Exodus, we know that Moses brought his family with him, but when things got tough, he sent his family away. He sent his wife and his two children back to his father-in-law, Jethro, and in Midian, and he then meets them again when he comes out to the mountain after they've crossed the Red Sea. They've seen the miracles of God leading them to the Mount Sinai. And it's there that Jethro actually makes the confession, now I know that your God is above all gods. And he takes the sacrifices that he was probably there to make on the... Remember when Moses saw the burning bush, if you remember this in Exodus chapter 1, he knew that this was the Mount of God because Jethro said, this is the Mount of God. So he knew that this was the mountain where God dwelt, Mount Sinai. And so he had come to Mount Sinai and was expecting God to speak to him again, just as he did with the burning bush. He was expecting him to share with them where he was to go from there. He followed God's words, you know, go down to Egypt, speak to Pharaoh on behalf of my people, tell him to let them go. I'll be with you, do what I tell you, and you will have accomplished this. And now he's come back to Mount Sinai, and Jethro comes, and Jethro brings with him animals, obviously, for sacrifice. And after he makes this confession, he sacrifices to God. And all the elders, they basically have a worship service, right? They have a sacrifice and they break bread together. Kind of cool, hey? Similar to what we're doing today. They gather together and they worship. And it's immediately following this worship that Jethro sees Moses out there trying to give advice to everyone. Remember, there's at least 100,000 people. At least. And Moses is trying to answer every complaint and every judgment that needs to be done. He is trying to do himself. Now, I want to tell you something. I want to confess to you something. And I think it's changing slowly, but I have to confess to you, when I went to seminary, they trained us to the Moses before Jethro model. You understand what I mean? The pastor is basically the one who does the ministry. The people are there to receive the ministry, and they're there to support the ministry, but the pastor is the one who does it. They used to talk about the fivefold ministry gifts that we talk about in our church, and we want to figure out what your fivefold ministry gifts are. The one of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. They used to say that all five of those gifts was in the pastoral office, and that you were to exercise all five. Well, if there isn't a recipe for burnout, I don't know what is. And yet that's what they told us. I mean, literally, that's what I was taught. Was we were to do all the counseling. We were to do all of the ministry. We were to visit all the people who are sick. We were to visit all the shut-ins. We were to give communion to everybody. I mean, that was what we were to do. And quite frankly, what scared me when I got into ministry was I found out that was what the people had been taught, and that was the expectation of the people. No wonder our churches never grow over 100 people. And just think, Moses had 100,000, that's an estimate, people. Could be more. I mean, if that isn't a recipe for disaster, how can you possibly, if Jesus could only, and he's the Son of God, could only call 12 disciples, and out of that, he really only poured his life totally into three. Remember that? If he couldn't handle 100, the most we know of is 72, right? If Jesus couldn't handle 100, what do Lutheran pastors think? I mean, the Bible does say that we'll do greater things than that, but I happen to think that's miracles. And I don't think that killing yourself is a miracle. And so when we talked about changing the structure of how we do ministry to remind people that we're the priesthood of all believers, as it says in Peter's letter to the churches, he says, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. We are people who are called. We have a vocation, and it's to live out our faith in whatever calling we have, whether it's to be a janitor, a president of a corporation, whatever it is, we are to serve the Lord in that capacity. And we do ministry by living out our lives of faith. We manifest the gifts that are evident in our personality gifts of Romans 12. If you don't know them, look them up. We see the manifestation gifts by the power of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. And we experience those gifts, those office gifts of apostle, evangelist, prophet, pastor, and teacher. If you don't know which one you are, come and talk to me, because I do have a test for that. Brothers and sisters, it's so important that we recognize that what Moses did is he looked to his father-in-law. His father-in-law offered advice, and Moses heeded that advice, and I really think that they would have had a terrible time of it, especially if you recognize that right after this, what did Moses do? He disappeared on Mount Sinai, if you remember this. And if he hadn't set this in place before he went up on the mountain and disappeared while he received the Ten Commandments, what would have happened? It already was bad enough. Aaron made a golden calf. What would have happened? I mean, it already went bad just even with this in place. You see, there has to be a way for us to mentor people, to live life together, to walk together, to encourage one another, to grow in the faith, to become who the Lord wants us to be. We have a lot of people here with great gifts. This is one of the most gifted congregations I've ever been in, spiritually. Maturity. We have people with business experience. We have people with life experience. We have homemakers, we have professionals. I mean, we are so blessed. And I guess what Jethro and Moses teaches us is, first of all, there has to be a willingness on the part of those who are in positions where they have lived life and have experience, their willingness to set aside time, which does take time, to be that mentor. I know when I call my mentor, and I still do, I call him in El Paso, and I know that his secretary is probably thinking to herself, why am I letting this call go through? And I'm always so, I am so thankful when she doesn't, when she lets the call go through. Because usually it's not a short call. If I call him, it's usually because I got a lot of things that I'm praying about, and I'm like, and then I have people in the congregation I meet with that I look up to and have respect for because of who they are as fathers and businessmen and other people that I meet with. So I'm very much a needy person when it comes to wanting to get advice, because I first and foremost know, and I think Moses understood this, that I don't have all the answers. I got a lot to learn, and I think that as long as we live in this world, we're always going to have a lot to learn, right? Woe be to me if I say, okay, Lord, I don't need to learn anything anymore. I got it all figured out. I'd encourage you to step aside before the lightning bolt comes. Because that's never true. On this side of heaven, it's always going to be learning, right? Discipleship is a lifelong journey. But I believe that we are called to be intentional about asking. So I want to encourage you, first and foremost, to, if you are someone who I believe, and I don't know, I don't think there's very many people here who are not people to whom someone could look up to and receive advice from. I believe there are many people, as I look around, who have life experience, who definitely could be people to whom others could look to and ask for advice and ask you to walk life with them. But also, I would ask you as an individual, are you like Moses? Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to accept advice? Are you willing to have someone walk in your life? And there's a big word that we use, and I hope you understand what it means, is accountability. And I have to confess, 4 years ago, before I came here, that word made my skin crawl. 4 years prior, I actually used it a lot. But then I had a negative experience where people thought accountability was come and kick me one more time. They thought that it was accountability meant they needed to bring me up to speed. And it was like getting kicked in the gut, like getting shot at. And so I didn't want to use the word accountability. I was hurt, and I didn't want to use the word accountability. But the word accountability is a good word because it means to be, to humble ourselves before another, to confess to another, and to receive not only the words of forgiveness and grace, but also advice so that we can grow closer to God and be more like Him. There's nothing wrong with accountability if it's done in love and willingly. And then to use that advice, to use that what you've gained by walking with someone. And men, I want to speak directly to you because I think we're the hardest on this. Because they tell me, anyways, in all the books I read, in all the articles I read, just read one by Erwin McManus not too long ago, where it says men are the worst for allowing people to speak into their lives. And they're often the worst in passing the information on because what they do is they immediately interpret it as, I need to fix this. And so they go about doing what they do comes naturally. Now again, not all men are the same. Please don't get me wrong. I don't want to end up with an email saying, I'm not like this. Well, probably you are. But anyways, that's okay. Because you're trying to fix it with me. That's usually a good sign. But anyways, but I'm just going to say this. If you are one of these men who likes to fix things, the chances are you're going to go about fixing it and forget that the idea is not that you have to fix it, but as you're fixing it, that you realize that if this is a problem with you, it's probably a problem with other people, and that you can use your experience of working through this with God to speak into other people's lives who are having the same struggles. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that wonderful? And so I want to encourage you. Ask the Lord to put on your heart a person within the body, or it could be another. It doesn't have to be within this church. I mean, we're a body of Jesus followers, and there's a lot of good people here. It can be someone else, but I would encourage you to try to find someone, ideally within the church, that you could asked to mentor you. And just simply remind them that what Pastor Schindel says, Pastor Brian says, is that mentoring is not a big burden, but a privilege and an honor. And it's not something that's going to require, you know, this many hours a week. It could be simply as much as when I see you on Sunday, maybe after church, I could just talk to you for 5 minutes. Or could I give you a call when I'm going through a hard time? Or can we go out for coffee? And I'll buy the coffee. I mean, really, it does not have to be a huge burden. It doesn't. But if you can see how Moses did it, he had people who were capable of judging 10, and people who were capable of judging 50, and 100, and then it kind of jumps from 100 to 1,000. Kind of interesting. But I would encourage you, take the time to pray. First of all, no matter where you are in the maturity stage, find someone to mentor you. Because mentoring is a lifelong journey. But then be willing to mentor others. Be willing to pass on what you receive to others. Because in doing so, we will see multiplication. We will. We will. Do you believe me? Every time Kent Hunter comes, he's another one of my mentors. Every time Kent comes, he always asks this question, and it really bugs me. I have to tell you. I really don't like it, and he knows it bugs me. That's why he asks it first thing when he comes through the door. He says, "So who are you mentoring right now?" Thankfully, I got an answer because I technically, according to the institution, I'm mentoring Paul and Norma. So, and I do. I mean, we meet and discuss, but... But I got an easy answer. When they're done their programs, I'm kind of concerned what I'm going to say. But, you know, it's a good question. And I believe in accountability. We should be asking each other, who are you mentoring right now? Who are you pouring your life into? Who are you walking alongside of? Who's mentoring you? And who are you mentoring? Could it become part of our culture here? I know it should. The question is, will it? I hope so. With God's help and by His power, because I'll tell you something. We want to be a church where people know that they belong. And if people are just happy to belong, that's fine. But I desperately, as a pastor, want to move people from belonging to believing. And from believing to becoming. That's my desire. It's a journey. And it saddens me if people are just happy to say, well, I belong. That's fine. That's the gospel. You belong. Jesus died for you, rose again for you, ascended to the right hand of God, and sent the Holy Spirit for you. That's the gospel. Good news. But I'll tell you something. The Lord wants the whole world to know that He died for them and loves them. And how great His love is for each individual. And we're tasked with that. That's our task. That's why we're here. I believe when we become an impediment to that good news getting out to the rest of the world, I don't think we're going to be here any longer. I think there's one sin that it talks about in the Bible as being unforgivable, and I think it's a sin against the Holy Spirit. And I've always wondered, what does that mean? I think it's when we finally decide we're never going to have anything to do with sharing the gospel anymore. And what purpose do we have? The purpose for which God put us here at this time in the whole picture of eternity is so that we can, through our words and deeds, share the good news of Jesus Christ. We can show people His love and show them that He died for them, rose again for them. And Andy asked me to, there's a retreat coming up and they're reading a book, so I downloaded it, started to read. I got to the point of history in 20 minutes, the whole Christian history in 20 minutes. Kind of interesting book. And I thought that the author said something really fascinating. He said, our job is to point people to Jesus. We kind of get messed up when we get all this other stuff in there. Our job is really to point people to Jesus. I thought that was really cool. Talked about meeting with a bunch of other religious leaders, and they were theologizing. And he just kept saying, well, it's like this. Jesus said, and they were all confused. Brothers and sisters, mentoring is a wonderful way to let people see Jesus. It's a wonderful way to help with accountability so people can focus on Jesus? Will you take the time to pray and ask the Lord, am I a Jethro? Am I a Moses? Am I willing to be mentored? And am I willing to mentor? Please pray about that. Please ask that question, because the Lord has great plans in store for those of us who are willing. Amen.